Merry Christmas. How many got what you deserved for Christmas? Oh, aren't you glad? Amen. Amen. This morning, we want to look into God's Word. Here we are, 2 days from December 25th. It's 2 days later. Now, you are aware, most of you, that different people have discussed whether December 25th is the right day to celebrate Christmas or not. And there are people in all kinds of different camps arguing this way or that way. That's not the point of our message this morning, to try to establish whether that's the right date or not. Part of the message this morning is to identify that we are, in fact, 2 days past the time of celebration that we enjoyed together. And we're also going to not only look at that reality in our own lives, but we're going to ask the question, what was it like 2 days after Christmas, that first Christmas when the Lord Jesus Christ was born? Looking back, we're going to ask, what did it look like 2 days later? Looking forward, we're going to look at what is it going to look like 2 days later after Christ catches away the bride after the rapture. And then thirdly, we're going to look at what does it look like 2 days later after Christ comes back to earth. You see, he came the first time as touchdown in the incarnation. When he comes for the church, he's going to call us up and we will meet him in the air. That's not a touchdown, okay? We're going to meet him in the air. When he comes the second time, he's going to come and stand, the Bible says, on the Mount of Olives and march through the right now blocked up golden gates of Jerusalem right on in, and he will bring his presence and his kingdom right here upon this earth. So we're thinking about three events and 2 days later in terms of each of those events. So let's begin with the passage that we are very familiar with. In fact, if you were here the other night at our Christmas Eve service, why, I read this passage from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And as we refer to that, I just invite you to kind of look at it. I will be calling our attention to a few of the verses. I'm not going to read the whole passage. But we are familiar with key individuals in this event. And Mary and Joseph, of course, come to our mind first. What was it like for Mary and Joseph 2 days after the birth of Christ? What was it like for them? We're going to have to do a little speculation because Scripture doesn't, in fact, tell us what it was like in their life 2 days later. We could ask some questions. One of the questions we might ask, are they still in the stable or do they have better living accommodations by this point in time? How's Mary doing? How's baby doing? How's Joseph doing? You recall they came down there. The reason they were there was they had to come and register for a tax because they were of the house and lineage of David. They had to travel 75 miles approximately from Nazareth down to Bethlehem to go and do this official registration. Here is Joseph 2 days later, and you can somewhat imagine some of the events that he might have been thinking about. I suggest to you that he hadn't had a chance to go in and do the paperwork on the registration. He had to get that done. He also now had a family to look after. Instead of just a wife, he had now a babe to consider as well. He also had to consider some other issues. And one of the things that's interesting that we sometimes, I don't think, wrap our head around is a reality that in 8 days, the Scripture says, Christ was taken and circumcised and named Jesus. So that's an event still on the calendar to be taken care of. And then we would read further, at 40 days, he would be taken into the temple, and there at the temple, they would have the service of purification of the wife. And that's 40 days after the birth. So I tell you that, if you don't already know that, to realize he didn't just hop on and drive on back up to Nazareth. He had other things to do. So the question was, where, in fact, did they stay next? We know by the time that the wise men came, and I believe it's reasonable to consider that that was 2 years later because they killed all babies from 2 years down. At that point, the wise men found Mary and Joseph, and here was Jesus, the infant, in a house. But 2 days later, were they still in the stable, or had room been made for them in the inn? We find one little kind of point of information. It's in verse 19. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. How many of you like to ponder? That's okay. See, it's biblical to ponder. Now, you do need to do something sooner or later. Don't just ponder. You need to do something with it along the way. But she pondered all these things in her heart. Just imagine that she was reacting or responding or pondering the reality that on that night, not only had she given birth in such meager circumstances, but those shepherds had showed up and declared to her what they had been told out there by the angel of the Lord. She pondered all these things in her heart. It's interesting also to consider about the innkeeper. The Bible doesn't say, other than there was no room for them in the inn, so whether it was a man and a wife or just a man, we don't know about that, but I wonder about them 2 days later. How many of you ever missed an opportunity in your life? You suppose there were any regrets? Because I believe that they also found out that there was something special happened out in the stable that night. When the shepherds had shown up, we read on in that passage, and it says, and they scattered and declared the news of what had happened. And I'm sure that the innkeeper got a little inside information about that. And I wonder if there were some kind of twinges of guilt of, well, couldn't we have done something different to make some better accommodations? But they hadn't, and so now were they responding in such a way as to try to make up for it? I don't know. They might have also been considering that there was some negative publicity going around town, that they did not make room for this one who was special born according to what the shepherds had told them. In verse 17, look with me there, talking about the very interesting circumstance for the shepherds when they had seen it. That's the nativity. Previously, they had seen that angelic host. When they had seen the nativity, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. In verse 20 says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. 2 days later, I think those shepherds were still buzzing, still excited and perhaps amazed that they were privileged to be the ones that received the news, to see the nativity, to go out and proclaim this. I think they must have been extremely excited even 2 days later. There's one other group that I want to call our attention to, and that is that they made known those sayings abroad concerning the child. Verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those sayings which were told them by the shepherds. 2 days later, what were the people in Bethlehem talking about? The shepherds said this. I suspect that some were curious and had gone trying to find the family and look into it. Now remember, the population of Bethlehem had enlarged greatly because of these people that were coming down there to register for this taxation. And so there were a lot of people, and those people, many of them of the house and lineage of David, some of them undoubtedly had the hope and the promise that the Messiah was going to come, as Scripture foretold, through the house of David, and could have gotten a little bit excited about that. So 2 days after Christ's birth, a lot of things were going on. And a lot of things, of course, going forward were to happen. So we consider that. And the next thing I want us to consider is 2 days after the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You read about this in the responsive reading. And as we reference this rapture, the church being caught up to be with the Lord, as we reference that, that is an event that is an extremely exciting event to consider. It is future at this point. And I just ask you the question, what is it going to look like 2 days later? Amen. 2 days later. Well, there's different people involved in this image as well. First of all, we would ask the question, what is it going to look like 2 days later for those who have trusted Christ as their personal Savior? 2 days after the rapture, believers are going to be in heaven in glorified bodies enjoying eternity. I had one yeehaw. Have I got any hallelujahs out there? I can tell you're not pondering that well enough yet, or you'd have a little more beam on your face. 2 days later, 2 days after the rapture, did you notice that it says when Christ comes, there are some that are coming with him? Who is it that's coming with him? Amen, Brother George, Karen, you know, different ones that have gone on before. Their bodies have been laid in the grave, but their spirit is gone to be with God. And when Christ comes back, that scripture says, when he comes back, he will bring those with him. And as the trumpet sounds, as the shout goes forth, and as the graves open, those who have died in the Lord are going to receive a glorified body. Woo! Glory! 2 days later, they will be with the Lord. And the Bible says, and those that are alive, today would be a good day. Those that are alive will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. 2 days later, after the rapture, we have just begun eternity. Amen? You know what? It's going to be fun to be with all of you then, because I know how much better you will be then. And I'm going to be better too. I'm looking for that. That's going to be glory, guys. Can you even begin to wrap your head around that? 2 days after the rapture, those that have died in Christ ahead of the rapture, those who are alive at the time of Christ, 2 days later, what's it going to be like for them? Glory. But there's another group that we need to recognize, and that is for those who are left behind. There have been books written, the Left Behind series. There have been movies made about being left behind. What about those people who at the point of the rapture are left behind because they've not trusted in Christ as their Lord and Savior? 2 days after the rapture, what is it going to be like? I put some words down before us there that don't even begin to touch the area. Chaos and confusion. In Luke chapter 17, verse 34 through 36, it speaks about some very interesting things. Two people sleeping in a bed, one taken, another left. Two ladies grinding at the mill, and one will be taken and the other left. Two men out in the field, and one will be taken and the other left. There will be some left behind. And friends, when it happens, as it Scripture describes it, in an instant, bang. One of my other joys of, it was a man by the name of George Adcock. I seem to be blessed with Georges most of the time. George Adcock and I, we were working the addition back here. We started in the fall of 1979. We worked on late into the fall. One afternoon, as sun had gone down early, we were working over on this side by where my office is, and we were putting up siding, and he stepped up on the ladder, and when he went to step down, his feet were frozen to the ladder. He said, "Dave, I think it's time to quit." I was ready. Next morning, he came in, and he said, "Dave," he says, "I'm not going to work with you anymore." And I immediately began thinking, what did I say? What did I do? How had I found? "George, what do you mean?" He said, "You know," he says, "I got to thinking about it last night. The Bible says two men will be working, one will be taken, and one will be left." He says, "I'm not going to work with you anymore because I know you're going." Friends, listen to me. 2 days after the rapture, there's going to be confusion like you can't believe. Chaos like you can't believe. This picture over here that was given a number of years ago is the picture of the skyline of Dallas. And an artist, Leon Bates, painted that in trying to communicate what is it going to look like at the event of the rapture. And you'll see graves open. You'll see cars, you know, wrecked. You'll see planes crashing into high rises and buildings and so forth. And that's an artist's idea of what's it going to look like. Friends, can you imagine being driving through Dallas, going around Dallas, and the rapture takes place? Can you imagine being on the freeway if you're left behind? Or in Denver? Or anywhere else? Friends, 2 days after the rapture, the chaos and the confusion is still going to be rampant. Because one of the things that's going to happen, two will be there and one will be taken, one will be left. What's going to happen is there will be families now that are split. A spouse is left behind. Children are gone. Workers in an office, one will be still there. Several others perhaps being gone. Friends, I hate to say this, but it is true. Some will still go to church. And their pastor may even be there. Because they did not truly trust in Christ. They were religious, but they weren't saved. 2 days after the rapture, those left behind are going to have unbelievable chaos going in their life. What do we do now? Can you imagine what this will do to the infrastructure across this land? I mean, just ponder that for a while, and you will truly be amazed. And the reality is that as that happens, there is something else that is going to be happening, even in the midst, I think, of the chaos and the confusion, and that is there will be some that will be celebrating. You know why they'll be celebrating? Because the Christians are gone. The Christians are gone. And some people are going to say, "Whew, we finally got rid of our biggest problem." Now, some of you have heard me say this before, but I'm going to just repeat it again. For a number of years, on January 1, on Pikes Peak in Colorado, outside of Colorado Springs, there was a group of people of New Agers that went up there to be there for the new year. And they were there, and they were believing in what they called harmonic convergence. And they believed that if they could somehow, within themselves, begin to all think the same thoughts at the same time, it could bring about the change of the world and peace. And one of the things that they visualized that would bring peace would be if the narrow-minded Christians were out of here. So I got a feeling that some of those people are going to say, "Yeah, we did it. We got rid of them." Now let me tell you, there's an image of that kind of celebration in Revelation, because how many of you remember what happened with the two witnesses that die there in the streets? They're dead, laid out in the city of Jerusalem for 2 days. Okay? And the scripture says, and all over the earth, there's celebration. I said 2 days, 3.5 days. And then while they're celebrating and giving gifts to one another and having a great time, all of a sudden, those two just rise up right in their very eyes. I believe there'll be people 2 days after the rapture celebrating the Christians are gone. Now they can do whatever they want to do, and we won't make them feel guilty. Those killjoys are out of here. There'll be people trying to explain it away. Some will say the UFOs came down. Got them. That's the nature of man in denying the truths that God has. There may be a few, 2 days after the rapture, who are experiencing some contrition, some sorrow, some regrets. Maybe they had a loved one that had tried and tried and tried to witness to them, tried to warn them that this event was going to happen, but they never had time nor energy nor interest for it. And 2 days after, all of a sudden, it's beginning to bore through them that this really did happen. But now, here they are, left behind. And friends, what the Word of God says, what's left behind for them is 7 years of tribulation and judgment, which the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. And there'll be horrendous times such as never has happened on the face of this earth. Add together all the climactic events that have happened, and you've only begun to describe what it's going to be like when a third of the rivers and the waters and the lakes turn to blood, when whole forests are going to be decimated, and on it goes, when there are 100-pound hailstones crashing down on people's heads. The Bible describes all of that in the judgments that will take place during that 7-year tribulation. 2 days after the rapture, those that may have some contrition are facing what's ahead in the next 7 years. Well, there's another image, and to see that, we need to go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. Jesus said that one day he was coming back and he would judge the world in righteousness. In Revelation 19, we pick up with verse 11, and it says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in heaven in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourself together into the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and them that sat on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which had he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. They both were cast alive into the lake of burning fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Christ is coming back to earth again. At his second coming, friends, he comes with the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. The first time he came meek and lowly, the first time he came to die for sins, when he comes back again, He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And as he is here, as he comes to this earth, the scripture describes his entrance as being a glorious kind of entrance. Not only what's here, but also what we read in Zechariah chapter 14. He will come, and the Bible says in verse 1 and following that his feet will stand on top of the Mount of Olives, and literally the Mount of Olives will split right down the middle. And water will begin to flow out of there. And he will set up his throne. He will set on the throne of his father David, and he will rule out of Jerusalem. And he will rule in perfect righteousness. Perfect righteousness, not grading on the curve. Absolute righteousness. And so the question that happens is, what about 2 days after that? Who's involved with that, and who do we need to consider? Number one, I want you to consider this. It says that when he comes back, the saints are with him. It says that in Revelation chapter 11. It says that in Zechariah 14:5. When he comes back, listen to me, I'm coming with him. I can get excited about that. I'm not going to knock it over today, Jim. I'll move over here. When he comes back, I can get excited about it because I'm coming with him. 2 days after he's established his kingdom, we're going to be here with him if we're believers. He's brought us with him. And as saints with him, he told his disciples that they would rule and govern cities. They'd take authority. They would function in this kingdom. In the New Testament concept, it says if we've suffered with him, we will also reign with him. 2 days after Christ comes, I'm going to be working in his kingdom. Woo! I get excited about that. How many of you ever remember the first day that you started a new job? Anybody here? First day you started a new job. You know, there's an image burned in my mind about a experience like that. And it was a job of a different sort. I had a neighbor, as I grew up on a farm, I had a neighbor ask me, would you be willing to run my swather? I've got some grain that needs to be chopped down. Would you run that for me? Larry, you're going to like this. I said, well, I've never done it before, but I'm willing to learn. He said, I'll pick you up. He came by, picked me up. We went over there. And the field that he had not been properly sprayed, so it had weeds as well as grain, and it was rank, rank stuff. He was having difficulty getting it through his swather, so he had to go real slow. So he says, here, just watch this. So I got up there and stood beside him, and he put the throttle full bore and put it in gear and eased into there, and boy, here it started coming. So we went a ways down the swath there, and he said, okay, you try it. So he got off there. He was in gear, throttle full force. And the way you start that particular model is when you push forward, you go forward. When you pull back, you back up. With full throttle, when I went forward, it leapt forward. When it leapt forward, I went backwards. When I went backwards, then I was thrown forward. How many of you are getting the picture? We had a dancing swather right there in the middle of the field. And this man was holding on to the side on this little ladder when this was going on. We got to the end of the field. He says, you take it from here. He had to walk back a quarter of a mile to get to his vehicle, but he wasn't going to take a chance on riding back there with me. I tell you that story to tell you this. You know what? My first day in a new kingdom, I'm going to do the job perfectly. And I won't have any worries or frustrations or, you know, things to confuse me. I will be totally capable because in a new glorified body, I can do whatever he signs me to do. Hallelujah! That is going to be wonderful. And you know what? I won't be doing this. Amen? You're not going to watch the clock. You're not even going to watch the sun because it's going to be daylight all the time. You're going to enjoy the job that he's giving you. There's no boring in heaven. Amen? It is going to be glory. 2 days later, as believers, we will be serving Christ. And listen to me, we will have served him. We'll be able to serve him perfectly for his full glory. And we will be blessed in the process of doing it. That is going to be awesome. 2 days later. The question, of course, is about what else is going to happen 2 days later. Well, the next one that I thought of in terms of what it's going to be like 2 days later is for the nation of Israel. Because you see, when Christ comes back, Israel is surrounded, ready to be destroyed. The Antichrist has his forces. The armies of the world are gathered around the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 16, and then it's referred here to the same event. It looks like Israel is going to be totally demolished. And 2 days after this, Israel has been magnified and lifted up, and they have their king sitting on their throne. And they're in the process of receiving all the promises that God made to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to Israel, all the way down the line. And their king will be ruling. Awesome. Awesome. But there's one other group we need to consider 2 days later. What about those people that were ready to march against Jerusalem, against the Jews, against God and God's people to destroy them? What about them? Well, you heard it a moment ago. Their flesh will be bird food. But there's something else that's involved in terms of what's going to happen to these. These that are judged for having rejected God and the Lord Jesus Christ, they have been cast into that place of torments, and they will be there for 1,000 years. And then look with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead which were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Listen to me. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. 2 days after Christ comes to set up the kingdom, those who have rejected him are bound for hell. 2 days later. We're here this morning, 2 days after Christmas. We don't know how far we are from the rapture. It could come any time. Are you ready? Are you trusting in Christ alone for your salvation? Have you repented of your sin, knowing you could not save yourself, and believe that the very baby born in a manger was indeed God come in the flesh, who came to seek and to save that which was lost? He lived a sinless life. He died a sacrificial, substitutionary death, was buried, and on the third day he rose again, and now he's exalted and seated at the right hand of God in heaven, and he's coming back for his church, and he's coming back as king. Have you trusted in that Jesus as your Savior? If not, today would be a good day to do business. There's a passage of Scripture. It's found in 2 Corinthians 6:2. It says, "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, and listen to what I'm saying carefully, you could be 2 days or less from death. Because none of us know how much time we have. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ, it could be that in 2 days Christ will come back at the rapture and you'll be left behind. These are very genuine possibilities. And I can just appeal to you this morning. It's so much better today to accept the gift of salvation than to wish 2 days from now you had and it be too late. The greatest gift that could be ever received is the gift of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ. Have you received it? It's offered whosoever will. Whoever comes to me, I'll no wise cast out. Doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, bond or free, barbarian, Scythian, male, female, doesn't matter. The offer is whosoever will. Whoever calls upon him will not be ashamed. Today be a good day to trust his word and not have regrets on down the road. Let's pray. Father, time is of the essence, we say. But Father, we are so very prone to procrastination. We put it off and we put it off and we put it off. And one of the devil's biggest ploys, when you're trying to get through, to get into a person's life, either for salvation or for restoration or for obedience, the devil says, you can do that tomorrow. Not now. Tomorrow. There'll be a better day. He's the liar and the father of all lies, and Lord, we reject his lie. And we claim your word to be true, that today is the day. Right now is the only time that we have to do business with you, because we have no guarantee of later or tomorrow. So Lord, we thank you for your mercies to us, to bring us here today to hear your message. And Lord, if there's someone that right now you're wooing, you're tugging, you're drawing them unto yourself, I pray right now, Lord, that you would so just move in upon them that they would be drawn to repentance and unto salvation. And Lord, we praise you for such mercies. So bless now, Lord, as we sing this closing hymn. And Lord, if there's someone that needs to make a decision, give them the courage and the boldness to come forward, that they might respond before it's too late. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your hymnals, please. Turn to hymn number 531. What if it were today? Let's stand and sing together.
Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Coming in power and love to reign. What if it were today? Coming to claim his chosen bride, all the redeemed and purified. Over this whole earth scattered wide, what if it were today? Glory, glory, joy to my heart dwell bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown him king. Glory, glory, haste to prepare the way. Glory, glory, Jesus will come someday. Satan's dominion will soon be o'er. Oh, that it were today. Sorrow and sighing shall be no more. Oh, that it were today. Then shall the dead in Christ arise. God up to meet him in the skies. When shall these glories meet our eyes? What if it were today? Glory, glory, joy to my heart 'twill bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown him king. Glory, glory, haste to prepare the way. Glory, glory, Jesus will come someday. Faithful and true would he find us here if he should come today. Watching in gladness and not in fear if he should come today. Signs of his coming multiply. Morning like breaks in eastern sky. Watch for that time is drawing nigh. What if it were today? Glory, glory, joy to my heart 'twill bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown him king. Glory, glory, haste to prepare the way. Glory, glory, Jesus will come someday. And we say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And yet, Father, in honesty, we recognize there's people that we know and love that if he were to come today, would be left behind. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us a burden for their souls. We ask that you would, as it were, turn up the heat in their life of convicting them of sin and righteousness and judgment and the reality that they need a Savior. And, Lord, may we be very available to say whatever you would have us to say, to reach out to them, to point them the way to salvation before they're left behind. And so, Lord, as we enter this coming week and look forward to a new year, Lord, may we recognize that time is all in your hands. We're not the masters of it. Lord, we are, as it were, the victims of it because you're in charge. And your word says that we're to number our days because we don't know how much time we have left. Lord, may we apply them to your kingdom's work. In Jesus' name, amen.